neither is there as much quantity either. As Shona was saying, that at camp we've been looking at Luke's Gospels, and then we've been going through that with the kids in the morning, looking at the life of Jesus, and then we've been looking at these kind of love looks like things, that the love looks like peace and friendship, compassion, forgiveness, and hope. But actually, ultimately, the two things come together because we find all of these in Jesus. That actually, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That actually Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's a friend of us. He's actually the best friend ever imagined. And that if love looks like compassion, and that if compassion is love in action, then the greatest action of love was Jesus' death on a cross. And if love looks like forgiveness is what we find in Jesus. He is the source, ultimately, of forgiveness. And if love looks like hope, then actually it is in Jesus that we find our best hope and the hope of glory living in us. So that's where we've been this week, looking through not just the life of Jesus, but also the significance of him, and that love looks like... Am I running out of power? Hold on. No, I seem to be fading in and out. Sorry about that. So that's where we've been this week. And so it seemed a bit fitting this morning that as we've kind of taken over Sunday morning, that rather than going into Proverbs, that actually we looked into the book of Luke. And so we're going to read from the end of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36 and reading down to verse 49. And it should hopefully appear behind me. But if you have a Bible, you can turn to it. So that's Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. And if you find yourself in John, you've gone too far. So this is Jesus. In terms of the way Luke tells the story, Jesus has only just risen from the dead, and then he meets the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and then the kind of 12 disciples are really just coming to understand that Jesus has risen from the dead. And it says, as he's talking about these things and about the appearances that had already happened, but he hadn't yet appeared to all of them, it says that Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a spirit or a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you whilst I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So this is this amazing appearance of Jesus to his disciples within Luke's Gospel, right at the end of Luke's two-part story. So Luke's Gospel is the first half of the story. The second half is what we call Acts, and these two books, and this is the kind of center point in some ways. And the first thing he's saying here is that Jesus is alive. It's not just a ghost. He's saying, look, you know, he appears to them and they're frightened. They think maybe it's actually just a ghost. And he says, "No, come over here. Look at my hands. Feel them. Look at my feet. Feel them." And they're still not sure. And he says, "I tell you what, give me some food. Let me show you that I'm not a ghost. Let me eat some food." And all they had was broiled fish, which was certainly not as good as we got at camp. Don't think we had broiled fish even one day, not even on the last day. And so he eats this food before them and he's saying, look, I am alive. I am real. This has really happened. And then he says, look, you need to understand all that's just happened and all that you're not really sure about really just fulfills everything I already told you. I already told you that the Messiah, that the Christ would have to die and suffer and then rise again. He says, this is the fulfillment. And what he says in verse 44, he says, what was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, so that's the whole of the Old Testament, that's what he's talking about there. And he says, all of that, all of the things that were written about the Messiah, they've all been fulfilled in me. And in order for them to be fulfilled, I had to suffer and die and then rise again on the third day. But all that's been fulfilled now. I've done it. And then it says in verse 45, it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. What amazing, I can't figure how amazing that would be for these guys who, some of whom were really uneducated, just ordinary guys, kind of fishermen and just simple guys, country guys. And then Jesus opens their minds to the scriptures. I can't imagine what that would be like. I sometimes wonder if it was a bit like, this is a very old film reference, I apologize, but if you've ever seen The Matrix, where Neo doesn't know something and he just says, well, can you just upload that into my brain? And it goes, and then he suddenly knows. And I wonder if that suddenly they understood for the first time in clarity what Jesus had accomplished. And he says, and the best bit is, you get to go and tell everyone about this. And I wonder at that point they began to understand the implications for them. Because sometimes when we go away to something like camp, it's amazing. And we spend time in such a wonderful atmosphere and we worship. And sometimes God opens up the Bible to us in a new way. Sometimes we see Jesus as being real for the first time or again. And everything starts to come new. And then we start to realize the implications as we come home. When we were away at camp, I talked on forgiveness. And I chained up Dave. Because it was funny. And also, it made a serious point. And I talked about forgiveness. But actually, really, while talking about forgiveness, we have to talk about sin. And I talked about how when we sin against someone and they need to forgive us, it's like a chain that connects us. But actually, we have a role as well. Because actually, the chains are sometimes around us because we're the ones who have done it. And sometimes we get wrapped up in our chains. And sometimes they get a bit heavy. And they constrict us. Sometimes they make it difficult to move. And they just weigh us down over time. And sometimes when we come back from camp, and it's been such a great time, and then the reality of life hits us and we realize that actually maybe we still have some chains. Maybe everything isn't brilliant. Maybe sometimes it's to do with other people and maybe sometimes it's our own fault. And we feel a bit chained up. And it's difficult. And I wonder at that point, I don't think everything was suddenly perfect for the disciples. I don't think they suddenly went, now I understand and therefore everything is amazing. Now, I'm sure for a part of it, they were going, this is amazing. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure they were wowed. But then there's the whole question of, well, how am I going to tell other people? And how am I going to keep going? And what am I going to do for a job now? Do I go back to being a fisherman? I'm not sure I can go back to being a tax collector. So how do I go back to real life? How do I tell my wife or my parents or my brothers about this change? Because they knew the old me, and maybe they're finding it hard to forget the old me. And the weight starts to pull down. But Jesus says, you know, you're going to do all this great stuff. And you're going to do all the stuff that actually we've read, that we can read about in the book of Acts. And that's all going to happen. And I'm about to go. But that's not the end of the story. And in that last verse it says, "And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Because actually, although Jesus lives his life, and we see it all through the book of Acts, and we see the death and resurrection, and then just after the bit that we read, when Jesus ascends into heaven, he says, just you wait. Because it's not just about you. In fact, it's not about you. I've done my bit. That's what Jesus says. And that bit is the bit that can really makes a big difference for us. But actually, it's not just about that. He says, "I'm going to send my Spirit, and that is going to change everything." And that is what made Acts possible. And the Holy Spirit is talked about in a whole lot of different ways, if you look through the Bible. One place he's talked about as the Comforter. And you know what? Sometimes, actually, what we need a bit of comfort. Because sometimes life is hard. And sometimes when we're tired and weary and we come back from something like camp, or if you're a clan, and you're excited, and then Monday morning hits, and suddenly you realize again that maybe your boss isn't always brilliant to you, or your co-workers aren't always friendly and nice, and you need a bit of comfort. And the Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. And actually, we need sometimes a gift. We need actually the gifts that God has given us, and we need to use those. And who doesn't love a good gift? And the Holy Spirit is the one that brings unity. It's great to sit in church on a day like this and say, you know what? We can all be part of the same family because of the Spirit, because we can all share in the same Spirit. It doesn't matter how young or old you are, whether you're from Scotland or England or further abroad. It doesn't matter if you are male or female. It doesn't matter. And the unity that we can share comes from the Spirit. It says we all share in one Spirit. But mostly, and most importantly, I think for these disciples, and I think for us today, John's Gospel tells us that the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And actually, Jesus died to free us from our sins, to free us from the weight. And the Spirit comes so that we can live that life in fullness. So that actually camp doesn't need to end today. Camp can be forever. That every morning we can get up and know that we can be free. Every morning we can get up and know that we can live in unity with the rest of God's people. Know that we have gifts that God has given us. And know that we can be comforted. And even when life is hard, and even when we just want to weep, we can know that God is there through the power of His Spirit. And today I brought with me not just my chains, but I've taken some of these chains and I've broken them. Because God breaks the chains. And we need to remind ourselves, and we can all have one. You're welcome to take a link away. And I will cut up the rest if I need to. And then you can take that broken chain link and you can hang it somewhere in your room where you will see it in the morning and know that God has broken every chain. To know that Jesus' death and resurrection doesn't just mean good things for those disciples 1,000 years ago. Doesn't just mean good things for camp. Doesn't just mean good things for Sunday mornings or for whenever you come to encounter or core. But actually, it can mean good things every day and every hour of every day, because He is always there and He will never leave us because He lives within us. That is good news. That is the power from on high that Jesus offers us. And so today, please come take a chain link to remind yourselves that the chains are off, not just for now, but forever. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you. Thank you for camp and all that we have learnt, for all that were there. And I thank you even for those who weren't there, that you continue to speak to us every day. I thank you for the understanding of your word that your spirit brings. I thank you for the comfort in times of great pain and great weariness. I thank you for the gifts that you pour out on us, that we can actually make a difference in this world and change the world for you. I thank you for the unity that there is in that. But Lord, I want to pray for freedom this morning. I want to pray, Lord, your word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and your Spirit is here. And I want you to come now and begin breaking chains, begin bringing freedom. Whether it's for the first time, or the 100th time, or the 100,000th time, break those chains, Lord. Bring that freedom. Let your Spirit move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.